So welcome to a seminar on BlackBerry applications. My name is Brett. I'm one of the CS50 TFs this semester. I have a nice little cat joining us as well for the nice lolcat joining us as well for the presentation. So we're going to talk for about an hour today about BlackBerry applications and how it really is writing a BlackBerry application really is a feasible option for your final project this year, and one that's actually could be pretty promising. We'll spend a little bit talking about sort of the different capabilities of BlackBerry applications, what they can do, and equally importantly, what they can't do. And so, because we wouldn't want you to get started coding applications and realize that that's impossible, because there are some interesting quirks with the BlackBerry infrastructure. We're also going to show you a recommended development environment. So show you exactly like how I code BlackBerry applications, or how I have before, and how I would recommend you go about testing your application as well. Finally, we're going to look at some sample code. We're actually going to write ourselves a small little Hello World program just to get the basics done, and then take a look at some of the sample code that RIM offers on their website. So we can get back to the you know exactly where to look for future help. So presentation goals, I guess. Just told you, but by the end of the presentation, I'm hoping that you'll realize that BlackBerry, that you can code a BlackBerry application, that it's really not that difficult. If you do choose to do one for your final project, it would be ambitious but doable, and I do hope that you get in touch with me. I'll have my email address up at the last slide. Please do get, and also on the PDF, excuse me, that accompanies the PowerPoint presentation. So please do get in touch. Even if you're just coding a BlackBerry application and have no questions, let me know. And happy to help out any way that I can. So let's talk for a little bit about how BlackBerry applications work. BlackBerry applications are coded in the programming language Java, which seems pretty intimidating. We have not learned it yet. Syntactically, it's pretty similar to C and to PHP and JavaScript. It's actually not technically related to JavaScript at all. It's just it's from a patenting issue, I think, that it happens to have share the same name, but so syntactically it's not that difficult. But big elephant in the room with JavaScript is that it's very intensely focused on object-oriented programming. It's not very easy to code a good BlackBerry application unless you understand object-oriented programming really front to back. I know we've touched on object-oriented programming this year in CS50, especially the last couple weeks. Talked about how objects are similar to structures, and objects can have methods, and are analogous to some of the things we've seen in C that way. But if you are going to engage and try to write a BlackBerry application, you are definitely going to want to go through a couple Java tutorials. BlackBerries use the Java 2, which is the version, the second version of Java Mobile Edition, which has no, it's not a very big difference from the regular Java Standard Edition, but it's something to keep in mind. You can download Java itself, in the development environment that we'll show you, and just wanted to point out a few things that you should know as we go through the presentation about how, you know, what's exactly made up, what a BlackBerry application is made up of. A few different keywords that are really pertain to object-oriented programming, but are extremely important by proxy to understand BlackBerry applications. The first is nested classes, which are objects. Sorry for the typo. Nested classes are just classes that are subclasses of other subclasses in a hierarchy system. It's actually fairly analogous to the XML organization that we saw earlier that we called DOM. And it's actually funny, there are implementations of Java that call on XML to organize objects. Unfortunately, BlackBerries don't work that way. It'd be very easy if they did have an easy way to do that, but they do not. So if you're ever confused by how a certain class is related to a subclass, you can think about it in terms of the hierarchy method that we use to analyze web pages and parse web pages. But just know that it's not exactly accurate because you do have these other features as well. One keyword is a workspace in BlackBerry programming. That's really just a folder where you put all your BlackBerry programs. when you open up a sort of start coding an application, the IDE will make you choose a workspace, and that's the directory that it will put the that'll keep the application in. The reason is that it won't be able to, unless you tell it to, it won't look for any resources outside of that workspace. So it's a good way to speed up the program, not have it search every time you look for a file, then have to search all over your computer. And then we have these things called packages. Packages are just groups of Java files. The packages are used to organize Java files into programs. 99% of the programs that you write will just be one package per program. It's possible to combine multiple packages into one program, but unless you have a very compelling reason to do that, I would argue against it because there's really no point. It doesn't really add any functionality. Finally, there's this keyword that always comes up called namespace. And that's really just a definition, dictionary definitions of what the different APIs are that contribute to the BlackBerry architecture. And so, if you want to start writing things to the user interface, we'll talk about those APIs. If you want to start accessing the internet, there's another set of APIs there. And each of those APIs comes with its own namespace. And so you do have to, as a way of declaring the API, in addition to including including directories with separate functions, you have to also include the namespace so your program knows how to interact with those functions. So that's important as well. So I guess what can these elements do? Well, as we move forward, really the two most, the thing that differentiates a mobile phone program from just a regular computer program is the fact that mobile phones always have this connectivity to them. And that's actually a really intriguing part about BlackBerry programming. And the reason that BlackBerries took off, I think, one of the reasons why BlackBerries are so popular is because they have a really unique way of communicating with the outside world. They can access the internet, as those of you with BlackBerries know, but they can also access a separate BlackBerry push service that we'll talk about. And so one of the things that these elements can do is they have very good connectivity through this push service. The downside of that is that the BlackBerry applications actually do not have a very good web browser. And they do not have a very good, and it's fairly difficult to, although it's possible, it's fairly difficult to access the internet from an application in some situations because the BlackBerry is fairly controlled. There are permissions you have to worry about. And so if you don't actually seek out permission to access the internet from that file, you can't do it. And so that's one other thing to keep in mind. One thing that programs to write cannot do is it cannot just access the internet whenever it wants to. There's very powerful capabilities there, but you do have to really enumerate exactly what you want to do, because as we'll see, the different ways of programming a BlackBerry application are conducive to different types of connectivity. That's the most difficult part of BlackBerry programming. The easy and fun part is the user interface, which I think is actually pretty cool. Until recently, there were no BlackBerry touchscreen phones. Just the recent touchscreen phone came out, but all the old BlackBerries have the same, even the touchscreen phone, actually, they all have the same sort of type of operating system with the menu that you know about and different icons that are in a very set format. You can manipulate all that stuff, all the visual user interface the components of the phone. You can also, once you open up a file, incorporate a dynamic user interface into the Java program that you're writing. That'd be very useful in game. So, for example, if you wanted to code a better brick breaker or a competitor to brick breaker, you could do that. And the interface is very easy to play with that way. And so, as we move forward, think about the two aspects of mobile phone programming: the visual interface and the connectivity. Especially for BlackBerries, the visual interface is much easier because there are no permissions issues, whereas the connectivity aspect is a little bit more difficult. So, There are actually three types of BlackBerry applications that you can write. And as you're thinking about, if you are going to write a BlackBerry application, the first major decision you have to make, design decision, is to choose which type of application. As you said, BlackBerry does have a web browser. I hear actually the new BlackBerry application, the new BlackBerry touchscreen phone doesn't have a bad web browser, but most of the other phones do, I would argue. And so web browser applications are not ideal for most situations. A web browser application in BlackBerry does have one additional feature, is that you can have it actually run in the background when your phone is off. When you're not actually looking at the web browser. That's something that some phones can't do. And so if you wanted to, for example, have your phone consistently update every time, say, an XML feed that you write on the server side is changing, then you can have a browser access that XML page from the background, and then, you know, the little icons that come up on the top of a BlackBerry, you can have one of those pop up whenever a new data piece is initialized, a new data piece comes up that you need to notify the user about. So browsers do have that one extra capability that they can run in the background. The problem is that is two problems with the browser, exactly. The first is that that's very inefficient in terms of battery life to be consistently querying web pages. And so if you do need to obtain data in real time, it's not the best way to do it through a web page. Also, since the some BlackBerries don't support JavaScript well, you can't do much dynamic interaction with the user through a web page. You're really confined to forms and buttons and traditional XHTML, or in this case, sort of the mobile version of XHTML that BlackBerry defines. And so, browser applications have efficiency implications, and they also have utility implications as well, because it's difficult to do some things that if you want to access other aspects of the phone. The type of application that we'll talk for the rest of the time about is the traditional client-side application that's written in Java Mobile Edition. I don't know why that's an S right there. That should be an M. I apologize. The Mobile Edition. So we'll talk a lot about that. That's the when we talked about object-oriented programming and the different things you have to know about Java. That's what it was referring to. And then there's this sort of, and so that's run entirely on the client side. I guess really quickly, just the main disadvantage is that it's fairly difficult to connect to outside sources if you don't have the right permissions and the right subscriptions. And also, although the visual interface components are very powerful and allow you to do almost anything, first off, the screen isn't that great, and so you can't have very rich images that you look at. And also, it's fairly difficult to manipulate the user interface, and so the graphical user interface. And so while it's very powerful, it can be more difficult than, say, an iPhone or an Android phone that have better application support already built into their API. And there's this middle type of application called MDS runtime. And we said earlier that there's a type of technology called push technology that BlackBerry is well known for. That's the system that their email runs on, that BlackBerry messaging runs on, and runs through what's called the BlackBerry Enterprise Server. And that is that's unique because it runs. Every BlackBerry has a unique PIN number in addition to the actual cell phone number, and the separate BlackBerry Enterprise system is able to uniquely ping a device whenever it needs to. That's why businesses so often choose BlackBerry as their phone of choice, because it's very easy to write very simple programs that just allow you to push random pieces of data that are particular to your business. And this MDS runtime system actually has a very easy visual way to code applications very simply. The problem is this push service, which is really the core of BlackBerry and why BlackBerries are so are so prevalent now, is that the unfortunate thing is that costs a lot of money to subscribe to. If you want to get a subscription, I think it's about $3,000 in the cheapest level. And if you want to get it through an $3,000 a year, excuse me. And if you want to get a really robust exchange server hosted through RIM that consistently that efficiently manages a lot of devices, it costs something like $12,000 a year just to get this one. This one web server. And so it's not very easy and not very feasible for certainly a CS50 student to use this MDS runtime. And plus, if you're not connecting your application to a direct corporate intranet, it doesn't really make much sense anyways to use MDS runtime. So really the two feasible choices we have are web browser and the client-side Java applications. Let's look some more at those client-side applications. I guess I have another browser application. I think we went over all this. Most people don't like the BlackBerry application much at all, excuse me, the BlackBerry browser, but it said JavaScript is getting better. Its latest phone was the Storm, the latest touchscreen BlackBerry, does apparently have a much better web browser. Finally, the Java applications. So what can you do with these Java applications? Well, as we said, APIs are really the core of communicating with different parts of the phone. You know, API stands for Application Programming Interface, and that's how you communicate with, say, a Google Map, like we did in the last problem set, or in the case of a BlackBerry, that's how you communicate with the push service. There's a separate push service API. It's how you communicate with the media player, for example, or in phones that have a camera, with a camera. You can also communicate with, there's an API for messaging, so you can have an application read emails if you want. And also, some devices have GPS systems, and those devices that run on CDMA networks, which is the Verizon wireless standard, can also use, they also have an API for cell phone triangulation. So that's how the Google Maps application for Verizon BlackBerries is able to locate where you are without actually having a GPS. Finally, there are file connection and flash memory APIs, and so you can, from any program really, load and access the flash memory on the device, and you can also load files and access, store, and save, access and save files from the file connection API as well. Now, we aren't going to get into any of these APIs today, but if you have any questions at all, I have played with them a lot before, tried to do cool things with my BlackBerry when I just recently got it. And so if you have any questions about this stuff, again, please email me. I'm happy to talk about any of these things. If you are still, at this time, brainstorming what to do with your final project, take a look even at the documentation that's accessible from the PDF that comes along with this, because there are other APIs there as well that I didn't include that are more interesting and might give you some cool final project ideas. So please do looking at the different APIs is the best way to think about what you can do with a BlackBerry and what's a good project to choose. And so do think about those and read over them as thoroughly as you can. Just a couple more words about networking, but the different protocols that BlackBerry has to access the internet. The push service is clearly the most fast and efficient way to get data. So we talked about MDS. Your phones can, BlackBerries can communicate over TCP/IP. Read HTML pages, through a Java library that's included to access the internet. As I said, though, again, the main obstacle to that is that you cannot create a client-side application unless you have the right permissions, which is difficult to get from RIM. I should back up for a second with permissions, because I don't think we have that later in the slideshow. You have to pay $20 initially to get a BlackBerry programmer ID if you want to access any remotely sensitive area of the phone. And that's fine. I mean, that's just $20. It's okay. But there are some permissions that BlackBerry, I guess, is more protective of. And having a application run in the background and access the internet without having a user actually press confirm or OK every time they want to access the internet is something that you can't do unless you get a permission that's specific to a phone, I believe. And so that's pretty difficult. And so if you do want a site that continuously updates, there aren't too many great options on BlackBerry unless you're comfortable having the users query a web browser all the time on their own initiative. Anyways, we'll move on from there. We'll take a break now. And after the break, we'll quickly go over the preferred way to code on a BlackBerry, what I think the best development environment is. And then we'll go take a look at some of the APIs that they have available in the documentation and give you some ideas about exactly what's feasible on the phone. So see you back in a couple of minutes. Hey, so welcome back. So you see on the screen now, shifting over from the PowerPoint to the actual development environment that we're going to use. What we're looking at right now is the visual interface for a program called Eclipse, which is one of the popular Java development environments and most popular way to code a BlackBerry application. BlackBerry actually has, there are many different ways that you can code a BlackBerry application, many different environments you can do it within. You can even use your cloud.cs50.net account if you'd like, if you just wanted to write up this Java code that you're looking at right here. Unfortunately, most of them have little bugs though, and so I think the one that RIM keeps up with the most is their Eclipse plugin to use the BlackBerry. To use the BlackBerry APIs, you need to have the correct plugin, and same if you want to use the simulator as well. And so I'd suggest using this Eclipse platform. They also do offer a more detailed development environment called just the BlackBerry Java development environment that was created proprietarily for the BlackBerry device. And I guess that's what RIM engineers use within their within their labs. Allows you more access at the actual memory usage of all these programs, as well as some other features. Honestly, I would not worry about that stuff at all. Even RIM itself suggests that if you are coding an application and you're not really really trying to get down to the hardware, this is the best way to do it, and this is their recommended development environment as well. So again, this is Eclipse. If you want to run this, the Eclipse you run on your own computer. You don't run over. I guess technically you could run it over your cloud.cs50 account, but that would not make all that much sense. And so if you want to run this on your own computer, a couple implications. First, make sure to save your code often and back it up. It would be terrible if your computer crashed and you lost all of your code. Also, you can't just download Eclipse and start writing, because Eclipse doesn't necessarily have all the support that you need for the Java language. To download the actual definitions within the Java language, you need to go to Sun's website. Tutorials on the PDF that accompanies the show. You also need to download this BlackBerry plugin. There's a tutorial there as well. I actually had a little bit of trouble downloading the BlackBerry plugin, and so if you have any difficulties, just email me. I think I had to do it on two computers, and different things came up both times. So I can definitely help you out if you get either one of those problems, give you some workarounds. Otherwise, I'll be happy to work with you and try to figure something out. So the code that's on the screen now, this is the language of Java. This is a Hello World application. I'm actually going to run, before we get into what this code actually means, let's take a look at the simulator that I was telling you about, because that's one of the other neat features of this environment. Unfortunately, the simulator is very annoying to run. So if you want to run the simulator again, this is after you've written your whole program. We're going to backtrack after this and watch the simulator. But if you want to run the simulator, Say run, and the last simulator I was running was not BlackBerry, and so we want to run this file as, if you look here, a BlackBerry simulator. Running it as a Java application, we just have it run as a program in your computer. And so run as, a BlackBerry simulator. And dealing with the two monitors again as well, and so I have to wait for it to come up on my computer. This is what you get. Not covering up anything there, right? Good. It's your real life looking BlackBerry. Oh, no. How's that? All right, better. So as you watch that program compile, it's actually run on a virtual machine. And so it simulates the BlackBerry operating system right on your computer. And the neat implication there is that it's much more difficult to run into problems that way than it is to run into problems if you just write your code and run it through an error checker or something, because it really will catch almost every single error that you can have as you're uploading your program to the device, unless the error happens to be device specific. So very good debugger in there too. And I guess now that it loads, why don't we just quickly take a look at it? Doesn't usually load that fast. That's good. I read somewhere that this device does not run quickly on a dual-core processor, which is what I happen to be using right now. I guess it seemingly could probably only use one of the cores. But anyways, I'm just moving them around the mouse right now. And you communicate with the simulator same way you would with the device. This trackball here, you just press it down and move all around. See all the traditional icons that come pre-installed on the BlackBerry? You got media player and everything, alarm clock, and then this one sort of dull icon here that we have not reset yet, our Hello World program. And I'm not very good at focusing with this. This simulator. So I'm going to open up the Hello World program, but you'll be surprised to see what you get. It's Hello World. One other random feature, one of the APIs you can use is the menu bar. So as we close the feature, we get a nice little greeting saying goodbye to us. But let's take a look a little bit behind the scenes now at how we would actually code one of these. So first thing we do is you want to create a new BlackBerry project. Project. And obviously you choose BlackBerry project and name it. And just going through the motions here a little bit, we'll call this CS50 seminar, because there are some pretty important details that we don't want to skip along the way. I messed that up. Not in the right directory. All right, we'll come back. Oh, there we go. Sorry, I don't know what I did last time. You see this comes pre-included with this little source folder here. Currently there's nothing in it, but that folder is where we're going to put all of our source files into the program that you write. Also comes with this sort of cryptic BlackBerry, RIM BlackBerry folder. And you'll see that includes all of the definitions of the different libraries that you can include. And if you are curious about more precise features of what the BlackBerry can do, take a look at these libraries. See if any stick out to you. Documentation that's linked from the PDF, again, explains all of them. But the source file is what we're most interested in. That's what we're going to be editing. And so the source file is comprised of, Java files. And so there are many different ways to organize a source file. And just before we get started, I want to talk for a second about that. There actually is not any particular there's no necessary way to organize your source files. This program runs pretty low level for a Java program, so you actually have some freedom to define however you want how the different Java files interact with each other. There's no real central database of that defines exactly which functions call which functions, which is something that you would find in an Android or Android phone, and I believe an iPhone as well, in their development environments. So we're just going to start from the basics, and instead of adding, instead of adding many different subfolders, it's best to start off, I think, with just one separate Java class. And so, we're going to create a class called, I guess, hello. And you'll see you get this link up here. It says the default package is discouraged to be used. As soon as you said you want to specify different packages for the program, depending on the different functions that your program has, I'd strongly recommend just using one package for the whole thing. And just define it instead of using the default package. In this case, we're not going to do that. We're just going to, because we forgot to do that earlier, we're just going to use the default package. And that looks good. And see, the superclass here that we're using is actually just the Java language. So this can be written as a main program instead of as a subclass of some other part of our program. So write that, and doesn't really give us too much help there, but we know that we do want this class to implement a, excuse me, if we look back at the other file, oh, I guess we have it open here. We do want this class to extend something called a UI application. That means that it's pretty intuitive. It's the user interface, the user interface class. For a BlackBerry, and in order to display the Hello World text, you need to extend UI application, but it does not. It's a little bit more difficult than that, and this is where you really do have to make sure you understand exactly how the user interface is implemented. So you see that there's a object here called the app. Also take this time to point out sort of some of the features of the API. If we want to enter event dispatcher, is obviously a very common function. They do have automatic fillers there, and so if you delete that whole that whole function and then start typing, it will give you it will help autofill the fields for you. And so this public class doesn't really do too much. All it does is pushes onto the screen via this function a new, what we call, Hello World screen. And unfortunately, if you want to deal with screens in a BlackBerry, they don't give too much more abstraction beyond main screen. So when we talk about the user interface and how to manipulate this user interface, all the different sort of features that are unique to a BlackBerry, like the different buttons and the menu items and the menu items within the phones and also the menu items within a different program, those have their own APIs. But when it comes to actually displaying buttons and things on the screen, it doesn't abstract any more than text and than differentiating between text and buttons and very simple objects like that. The rest is up to you. And so this is an example of how you call another user interface object. And so we're pushing onto the screen Hello World screen, which is a main screen object. And we're defining Hello World screen to have these different attributes, and one of them being Hello World text in it. I guess we won't dwell too much on that function or on that class, because that's all pretty intuitive. But do take a look at the label fields. It's obviously a very common one. That's what comes up in the label field is what sort of starts on the top of the screen on a BlackBerry, what displays on the top of the screen. Label fields what displays on the top of the screen. Is the type of text, I'm sorry, displays on the top of the screen. And then the set title method actually displays there. That's what the title aspect is doing. And then we also have this other method down here called onClose, Boolean method. And that's what brought up that initial close, the goodbye dialogue, that goodbye prompt that happened when we closed the program, if you remember. Understanding how this function works is very important. The main screen, since this is an implementation of a main screen class, you have these functions available, like onClose and many other ones that deal with the menu. On menu push, I think, is one of them, on menu button. That allows you to interact with the, in a main screen with the aspects of the with the different elements of the user interface. Excuse me. You can see this happens also to make a system call with the exit function, which means you exit the program, and you're returned true as well, which we all remember so well from C. If you take a look at the documentation, and we'll check that out at the end, there are many other cool examples of functions like that that make it really easy to communicate with the user interface, with the BlackBerry-specific user interface API. But it's much more difficult to communicate with the it's much more difficult to organize the your own user interface, and that's something we'll talk about in a minute. So now that our Hello World program's done. Because I can't think of too many other big problems that come up with the development environments. Okay. Well, I'm going to minimize this. Maybe we'll come back to that test a little bit later. Bring up a series of sample code. That I think is pretty important to understanding this stuff. First off, one great way, I said there's an API to access files. That's really easy to get. You can access files right off the memory on the device. If you'll excuse me one moment. I'm just having to open this up on the dual screen, getting confused. Right now, we're going to take a look at parsing some XML file that's on your an XML document on your computer. Pause. I just closed out by accident. I had to open it up again. Here we go. Anyways, this is another file linked directly on that PDF I wrote up. Take a look a minute at, I want to point out a couple aspects of this file. What this is doing is just parsing a local XML item. So as I said, it's difficult, and the networking issues come up when you want to access data from outside the device, from somewhere on either the internet or on, if you were doing a crazy push service on your own local internet. But if either way, you're going to have to access these files the same way once they're loaded onto the BlackBerry. You'll see it extends the UI application. That is something we're actually going to skip at the moment. I apologize because we already did a little bit of that. So you look down, I'm looking for the connection. Where is it? I can barely read that. Sorry about that. Connection is a, you see this is the constructor for, we call it connection class. And that allows you to connect to a file. In this case, we're calling it connection thread. We're going to start that connection thread and move down to the interesting code here, where we get to actually update data from the XML file. In this case, if you look down here, apologize, I'm having a tough time reading this on the screen. So we've opened up the connection as con, as a con variable, call it C-O-N-N, it's just the name. We make it clear that it's a stream connection, we cache it as a stream connection, and then open up this local host variable, or excuse me, link. And that's just the address of wherever that XML file is on your machine. And depending on where you store it in the cache on the connection, that will change. And then as we go down here to the actual parsing of the data, you can see, you'll see some very familiar code. Oh, here we go. This is much easier to read. You'll see some much more familiar functions, like get child nodes and nodes. So you can actually access the XML data from Java here, the same way you did in JavaScript in the last problem set. So it is definitely possible to access dynamic pages like this. And I'm going to point this particular sample code to you. Just as an example, after you negotiate, figure out exactly what connection type you want and how you're going to implement that any connection, then this is a really good sample code to look at. And that part's not too difficult, as you can tell. But we do also, just the connection, excuse me. I'm going to take a look at some user interface components, and we're going to take a look just really quickly at a we're going to look really quickly at how to change the background of a application that you write. Try to extrapolate from there exactly how you'd how you'd mess with other parts of the user interface. So take a look at this window. This is a another tutorial that's linked from PDF. And if you take a look at this, this is another screen that's extending main screen. And so it's a full screen right on the BlackBerry, on the main BlackBerry screen. It's open right now. And you have this cool method that actually is very new that lets you get called set background. You actually couldn't do that. Last year, when I tried coding BlackBerry application, that application was not there, or excuse me, that method was not there. It was much more difficult to change the user interface. But I just wanted to point this example out as a way of how to, as an example of manipulating different parts of the user interface. First you start off setting the background, then you also, it also sets a border with that create border method and then set border. And borders, obviously, again, another class that is defined within the BlackBerry API. You see down at the bottom an example of a screen that's created by this code. If we change the BlackBerry to change the background to red, it just adds three of these label fields, which is the same type of text that goes up at the title part, and then sets the background to red. Not too difficult, but you can imagine that if you want to do more dynamic stuff than this and actually have a user interface with different objects communicating with each other, you have a lot of other options. And these other options you have to define different classes with that will extend onto the main screen. So just regular screen classes. They're called screen classes. And if you... And we're not going to go into any examples now, but depending on the application that you want to write, definitely do get in touch with me, and I'm happy to work with you. I have not done much in the way of user interface on BlackBerry, because as I said, this part's pretty new, and when I coded before, I was much more interested in actual data transmission. But I'm actually really curious how this works as well. So I guess that's the end of the sample code we're going to look at. I do quickly want to mention a couple other things about BlackBerry programming, though, that are really important. First is that since there are so many different types of BlackBerries out there, all the different types of BlackBerries sort of work in a different way and have a different operating system. And the most recent version of the operating system, I think, is 4.6. That was just released. 4.7 is in development now, but no phones have it. And 4.6 is the most recent operating system. And many of you, though, aren't using BlackBerries that were released in the last couple months. And so it's much more difficult to write programs that are going to work on all BlackBerries if you use the newer operating systems. As you said, the plugin to Eclipse that you download is from the BlackBerry site is actually, excuse me, I'm trying to maximize that again. It's actually specific to the operating system that you want to use. And so if you want to, a good rule of thumb is to use the operating systems that have the least functionality, that are the oldest, so that they're, or you have to do that if you want to have many different phones use your application. There are detailed publishing instructions that are linked here as well. And as you do get to publishing your BlackBerry, you're going to have to specify exactly what operating systems it will work with or what versions of the BlackBerry operating system it'll work with. As you design, that's one thing to keep in mind. I just want to emphasize how important it is to have a good object-oriented design at the beginning of your coding. So please do let me know if you have any questions on that front as well. That's the end of the presentation. Just quickly put my email address up there. I guess the email address is on the PDF. And so if you have my email address, please do let me know if you have any questions about BlackBerry applications. I'm really happy to help out with anything, and I'm actually really curious how the new BlackBerry operating system is working. So if you have any questions, please do let me know. Thanks a lot.